This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited that you're here, and I'm excited about tonight's guest. She was on staff with Crossroads Church for 22 years, and now she's launched a new career as a life coach as of September 2024 with her company Revealing Potential Coaching. I am super excited and honored to introduce Lori Stansberry.
Hi, Jen. It's fun to be here today.
Yeah, I'm glad you came on my show. I've known you for, gosh, how long have we known each other? It's been a long time.
I was trying to figure that out. Has it been like 15 years, maybe?
Something along those lines. You were the director of First Impressions, and I was a volunteer that started in that, and that's how I met you, and I think
changed roles, and you helped me with some volunteer development. We had a blast doing that.
Oh, man, that was fun. Yeah. And that was right up my alley too, because that was all of the project management and curriculum and organizing. Yeah. I was like, woohoo!
That was very fun.
It was really, really
and
fun.
And we've just stayed in touch ever since.
Yeah, we have. Because it's just been one of those kind of friendships that just seems like it just has lasted and it's good. Yes. And I'm really excited about you stepping into the life coaching arena. Mm-hmm. And so I hope we can talk a little bit about that and where God has led you with that and in your experience in that. Cause I'm sure
a whole story in itself.
I bet it is. I bet it is. But for the listeners who don't know you, share a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and how you came to know Jesus.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Iowa, but like any other good Cincinnatian, my husband, when he met me, moved me back here. So we live in Cincinnati in the Kenwood area, and I have done a couple of different things in my life. I went to school in clothing design and decided to work in retail for a while after that until I knew what I wanted to design and ended up in leadership there. So I spent about 14 years in leadership as a regional manager of a women's clothing company.
Oh, that's cool.
And had only been married for a couple of years and felt like I was spending 90% of my time away from my husband and anybody in the town I lived in, and started asking God what he wanted me to do instead. And I kept getting this strong feeling that I was supposed to work at our church. And that didn't make any sense to me because I did not have a seminary degree. I felt strongly it was in the kids area, and I had no education degree. I'd volunteered in kids areas, but didn't have any kids of my own. It just didn't make sense. And I ended up about a year after that, kind of talking to God a lot, ended up working at Crossroads Church, and I started in the kids area. I was the kids club director for many years. Switched from that to leading kids and students. And I'll tell a little bit more in my story, but switched to leading First Impressions and then moved on to being an executive pastor and then leading most of the ministries that happened at Crossroads. And felt very strongly a couple years ago that God was asking me to walk away from all of that, retire, and pause and just get some rest. And then I would know what I was supposed to do next. And it felt very right that I was supposed to do some life coaching. So that's what I've been doing.
That's very cool. I love how you felt like you were called into children's ministry and then your job at Crossroads was children's ministry.
Yeah.
I love how God prepared you for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if completely prepared, but yes.
Is anyone ever completely prepared for children?
So. No.
Oh, that sounds fun. I was just chuckling because working with kiddos sounds like it could be really fun and really challenging at the same time. Because kids they're just like another dimension, right?
Yeah. And I've always loved kids. That's always been part of my story and always something that I wanted. And so, yeah, it was kind of crazy how I ended up in that area and how I moved away from it. So,
So in all the time in ministry, what have been some of the most memorable moments where you've seen God really show up in some interesting ways?
I would say there have been some, I would say breakthroughs where people have been really bothered by something in their life, either something that happened to them or something that they had gone through in the past and just could not get over. You know, maybe a sense of shame or feeling like they just couldn't get past it. And to watch that go away, watch God redeem it, that has been pretty cool. I've actually both seen somebody get healed, but I've also experienced some personal physical healing in my life and seen my husband get healed. And man, that is pretty cool to see in ministry. I know some people don't get to see that their whole life, so I feel pretty blessed in that realm.
Yeah, ministry can be hard and rewarding, right at the
At
same
the
time.
same time,
They are not mutually exclusive,
No, they're
right? It's
not.
an and for sure. So share a little bit about some of the personal healings that you've went through. I know I do definitely want to touch on our shared experience, the thing that we really bonded deep over,
Let's
but
do that next. Well, so for one thing, the last 10 years have been pretty crazy for my husband and I, but I had just moved to a new job at Crossroads and found out that I had breast cancer and went through 3, maybe 4 months of surgery and radiation. And the next year after that, like I was healed and felt like God, you know, physically through doctors and medicine, I think healed me. About a year later, ended up in excruciating pain. My back and neck were extremely painful to the point where it wrapped around my legs and I had trouble walking, had trouble sleeping, was just in major pain all the time. And I probably spent about 6 months at Mayfield Clinic and trying all kinds of things to discover what was the root cause of it and how did I fix it. And nothing was working. No pain medicine, no procedures that they did, physical therapy. And I had a couple of people that came over and prayed for me, which people had been praying a lot over that time. And they prayed for me. My husband was with me and the experience was pretty crazy, but they put their hands on my back where the pain was the worst. And as we were praying, Dave started confessing something that he felt like he was unworthy of taking care of me. And they just continued to pray during that time. And it felt like the pain moved like a worm down my back. And they moved their hands without knowing that that pain was moving. And when they got done praying, there was like a wind that went through my house and the pain was gone completely. I could jump around, I could move, it never came back. And my doctor could not explain the reason for it, but it was gone.
Would you think that that could have been a spiritual attack, like in the physical, from a spiritual attack from Satan?
I personally think it was, and I believe that in marriage, we are one, and what my husband was struggling with was affecting me. And I forever was like, what did I do? What can I confess of? What do I need to do differently? And it was like this riddle that I couldn't solve. And it wasn't until we prayed together and tried to, you know, think through how do we empty ourselves from anything that could be affecting us. And that was it. And so sometimes when I'm praying for people, I'll ask, you know, is there anything going on with your spouse? Because sometimes they're tied together, and we, you know, we've seen that in other areas of our life as well. So
Yeah, I've seen that a
pretty
lot.
powerful.
At women camp in the prayer tent. It's interesting how physical manifestations of a spiritual thing happen like that. And that's interesting that you've been able to see the correlation between a husband and a wife with stuff like that. Because I've never put that together, but wow.
Well, that was the first time I'd put it together. And since then, I've seen that happen more often. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
Think God allowed you to see the correlation so that you could then help other people. Like, he doesn't waste any of our experiences, right? He always uses them.
For sure.
Wow. That must have been really cool, that wind blowing through and like God just showing up in that moment. I mean,
It
whew.
was weird. I thought maybe the wind wasn't really there, but we had cards that were hanging. It was like Christmas time, had cards hanging on a door, and they literally flew off the door. Like there was a physical wind in my house. So,
That is
pretty wild.
so cool.
I have more. I'll share them with you some other time, Jen.
All the more reason to have dinner or lunch, right?
That's right.
That's
That's
right.
right. But I do feel like God spiritually healed me for some other things too that were pretty deep in my life. Some of that
Yeah.
having to do with kids. Yeah.
Yeah, and let's kind of jump off into that.
Okay.
So I recall that, and I don't even remember how this subject came up, but we got to talking about our shared experience being physically motherless, right?
Yeah.
Never having any of our own natural kids and what that experience and that pain was like going through those
Yeah.
things. So, whatever you're comfortable sharing, why don't you share
Sure.
a little bit of your experience in that and
Okay.
kind of how God moved through that.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that I am somebody who had always thought she was going to get married and have kids. Even in college, I thought, well, I'll find the right person by the time I get done with college and, I'll have kids and then I'll figure out what I want to do as my kids get older. And that didn't happen. I got done with college, didn't really meet my husband till I was 30. And so it was a lot longer in life. And then the person that I ended up marrying was somebody who had a daughter. He had been married before and had made a decision to not have any other kids. And so when I came around, that was already a permanent decision that had been made. And we dated for 4.5 years trying to figure out, like, why would we get together if I want kids and he doesn't want kids? And I mean, we talked about adoption, we talked about fostering, we talked about a reversal because it was a vasectomy that he had had. And none of those answers just seemed like the right thing. And we strongly felt like God was telling us that we were supposed to be together, not just one of us. We both felt that way and it didn't make any sense. So we proceeded to get engaged and I got to know my future stepdaughter well and thought, well, maybe God will just make her enough and I won't want to have kids myself. And I think my husband was hoping the same thing would be true. And a couple years into our marriage, it just really made me sad. Like I would spend, weeks every once in a while just crying whenever
Yeah.
I could be alone or at night would be thinking about it and trying to figure out, like, I don't understand. This is the desire of my heart. And it talks about it in Psalm 37:4 that, if we talk to God and he shows us the desires of our heart, that he will answer those. And it didn't make any sense because it was a deep feeling for me that I was a mom. So, I ended up switching careers, as I mentioned, and started working in Kids Club at Crossroads Church. And that did it for a while. That filled that hole that was in my heart. And I had a blast doing it. Felt like I had great perspective because I didn't have any kids of my own to judge everyone else's kids on their performance. And had a successful time in Kids Club. And then I started to realize that I still was sad. I still was really wanting kids of my own. And
Yeah.
it became harder and harder when people would literally say things like, well, you're not a real mom, or you're not a real parent. And it's crazy. You think that people wouldn't say that, but it just pops out. My own siblings have said it before. And that hurts. So if you know somebody that wasn't able to have kids and really wanted them, don't say that to them. It's just painful.
Yeah.
But I found myself just getting more and more sad about that and was leading our students and kids at the time. And it just felt overwhelming to continue doing that. So I asked my boss for a couple of weeks off, and he ended up giving me a couple of months off to try to process through it. And at that time, I realized my identity was made up in the job that I was doing because that tied to what I could do about having kids. And that probably wasn't the most healthy thing to be at a place where my identity was wrapped into being the kids club director. So I unwound that and spent time with a counselor. I spent time with a life coach at that time trying to figure out what's next. Do I go back to my job on staff? Do I try to do something different? What is it that God wants me to do? And I made the decision it wasn't a good idea for me to go back to being the kids club director and the student ministry director, that was just too hard for my heart.
Yeah.
But during that time, I felt like God showed me how I was made was still who I was. So it that deep hurt, that deep wound for me to want to be a mom was actually how God made me, but he made me to be a spiritual mom, not a mom of my own kids. And I had always pictured that physically being having kids of my own. And once I was able to see that, I could start looking at what that meant instead. And there was a book at the time, it was called Plan B. It's by Pete Wilson, and it's a book that talks about like when your life doesn't turn out the way you thought it was going to, somebody loses a child, can't have kids, something else tragic happens in your life. It's not like it puts a bow on it, but there's a different perspective, a different way that you can move through things when you've gone through that. So I spent some time with that. I went back to Crossroads to work, and I started in the first impressions area, in the hospitality area, and that was a great fit for me. I had a blast in that area. That's where I met you, Jen, and did all kinds of things, put on a huge show that happened for 10 years there. So it was a great time. And my husband and I, in that trying to heal, decided that he had been praying this whole time that I would heal and that he and my stepdaughter would be enough. And I had been praying against him that God would heal his heart and that somehow we would decide to have another child of some kind in some way. And when we realized we were actually praying against each other, I'm sure God has that happen all the time and he figures it out. But we decided to start praying for C. If he's praying for A, I'm praying for B. Let's pray for C. God, we don't know what you're doing. And we know that you've made a desire in me to be a mom, and maybe it's spiritual. So please guide us. And it was a few years later, but I had met some girls. They were in a large family that I had been mentoring one of them. And when they turned 17, their mom was having some other things happen in the family. It just didn't seem like a good situation for them to remain in the home. And their mom asked if we would take them. And so we spent time. They were too old for us to fully adopt, but we got custody of them at 17 and helped them through their senior year of high school and into adulthood. They're 31 now. And it was incredible and it filled that void getting to be a parent with my husband, not a third parent being the step parent, but a real parent, was
Oh,
incredible and healed something.
step parents are real parents.
They are. They are. We're bonus moms,
We're
Jen. We're
bonus. There
bonus
you go.
moms. They get a bonus besides the regular ones.
That's right.
So that happened. And crazy enough, at the same time at church, we were talking a lot about building into other people. And there was something that people kept talking about, like a missional community where you'd have a larger group of people that you're building into and spending time together, growing in discipleship. And because my husband traveled all the time and I was really busy with work, we each were mentoring different people and not really home much with each other because we were busy one-on-one with everyone. And we thought, what if we just made a spiritual family and pulled some people together? And so we actually built a spiritual family that started out with just four kids, a couple, and then two single people. And it was right at the time we adopted the girls, and we really did all become a family. I mean, the one son, Chris, just, would kick around and beat up on his little sisters, just like if they were part of the family, or pick on them, tease them. We would do Sunday night meals all the time around the campfire and play games and hang out. And they were a family that we could talk about anything. So we talked about sex, we talked about money, we talked about how to grow in your faith and share it with other people. And we talked about hard things, whether it was stuff my husband and I were going through or whether it was things that one of the individuals was going through. So over time, we have developed a family of 12 kids and 10 grandkids.
Wow. Oh, I love that so much. I love how God just weaved you guys together. And I love the whole concept of missional community. And when that was first presented to you in your prayer life, even as you're like unwinding the things like the expectations of I'm going to be a physical mom and this new way of living or thinking about being a parent. How was God like turning your heart? Was it a, oh, I get it, Lord. Or was it like a slow sort of turning to really getting it?
Yeah, I would say the first piece of it was a mourning. Like I had to mourn the loss of what I wasn't going to have, like that I really physically wasn't going to have children. And at this point in my life, through some of the other things I've been through, I'm not sure I would have physically been able to have a child. That might have been God's way of like healing me and not having me have to go through that. But I would say mourning the loss first and then paying attention to what God was doing, because then I could pay attention to this desire that I have has other ways of manifesting itself and being able to be useful in the kingdom of God and actually bring me pure joy.
As you're sharing, I'm just reminded of an image of a flower blooming, it just kind of opening. That sounds like that, what that whole process was.
Yeah,
Like you
it was
really
great.
bloomed into motherhood.
Yeah. At the same time, I think he put people in my life that had gone through that same experience. So, I mean, you and I met each other. I had two people that were a little bit older, farther along than me. Missy and Betty were two of my friends that didn't have kids of their own, and I could have someone to talk to about how hard it was to go to a baby shower. And
Oh,
they,
yeah.
one of them would say, just say no. You don't have to go to those things if it's that painful for you, or skip the diaper aisle if that's a hard day for you. Give yourself some grace because not everyone else is going through that. And there's all kinds of times, you get in a neighborhood conversation, everyone assumes you have children, everyone assumes you know the school system in the area. And you just have to find a different way to engage in the conversation. And so it takes some skills, some time to work on that. But I would say mourning, then spending some time figuring out what is God doing, and then looking for where he's working in that area. So I wasn't expecting it with the twins at all. I just was spending time building into someone that I felt like I was supposed to build into, that needed me, that wanted to grow in her skills at school, wanted to socially do some things, wanted to learn more about God. And in that, got to know the family. And I tried to spend time helping the whole family. And it was pretty clear these are the two that we want you to spend time with. And Dave got to know them more. And the biggest thing was Dave's heart changed to want to do that. That wasn't something at all that you would think, it's like a bad joke. We're going to adopt twin 17-year-old girls. And my husband's like, well, I wasn't going to have kids of my own, besides my daughter. And he embraced it. He loved it. We had a blast with the girls. I won't say that it was all sweet times. I mean, they'd come from a pretty tough situation. And that's hard to move into a home that's totally different than yours and accept a lot of love and resources that you weren't expecting. So, yeah, we had our ups and downs with it, and that was something that my husband and I could go through together.
You know what I
And
really,
then,
oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
no, go ahead. You're
I was going to
fine.
say, I really love that you guys, while you were praying, what you said was prayer A and he was praying prayer B, that you
Yeah.
guys landed on C. Like that's it, not negating the two, but let's just look at another way in which God might be trying to like work in our marriage
Yeah.
and through us. So what should we be praying for? That's a great
Yeah.
example.
I mean, I think that's true in a lot of things. So, because my husband and I have been through a lot of health things in the last 10 years, asking the question why it's happening is not the right question to ask. You may never get an answer for why something happened to you or why something doesn't heal, but you might be able to understand what is God doing in that time frame. And sometimes you figure it out while it's happening, and sometimes there's something that you can learn after. If you've been through something really rough in your life, God may want you to help other people who've been through that. Not everybody, but some people. And that might have been part of the reason why that happened to you, because you are somebody that can help others and you have the strength to walk through it and move into that direction. So
100%. I'm with you. Because I kind of feel like with my experiences, I was in that boat for a long time of why. Like, why did I have the parents I had? And why did I go through the hard experiences? Why couldn't I have children? The whole thing. And it's been one of those like slow reveals. I get it now, but that God showed me my experience is to help other people. Like there are going to be
Yeah.
other people that aren't going to be able to make that connection of like seeing God through some of what they've went through and understanding that God is a good God. He means only good for us. Like for whatever reason, they can't make that connection. And maybe I can be the person that says, hey, you may
Yeah.
not have hope, but I can have hope for you. So let's walk
Yeah.
this together.
Yeah. God can redeem some pretty crazy things.
Oh, yeah.
And we get really close to him when we're going through tough stuff. Like if you have a relationship with him or you're developing one, he really can get close and intimate and give you the strength and the perseverance you need for the next stage of life that you're going to be in. And I mean, I would not have learned the depth of how much God loves me if I hadn't gone through some of the physical and emotional things in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that too.
Yeah. I would also say this is very interesting. And until more of our kids had been part of our family, I don't know that I would have put the two together. But I do think that part of our family makeup is people who have experienced some kind of rejection in their life. And that was a huge part of my husband's story. It was a huge part of my story. And we did a lot of work to get rid of that in our lives and not let that wound keep bothering us.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a clue when we would spend time around somebody and realize, like, oh, they're going to be a part of our family. I can feel this. And we were basically third parents to a lot of people. So if somebody had a baby, we were the third ones at the hospital. If somebody had a one-year-old's birthday party, the rest of the family was like, who are those weirdos over there in the corner? Oh, they're our parents too. So we're Gigi and Grandstands. My husband's last name, Stansbury. So we go by Gigi and Grandstands. And to hear a three-year-old say
Grandstands.
Grandstands, it's awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. That is so
Yeah.
cute. Yeah, it and I'm reminded of there was for me a moment in time when I was younger. I was going to the vineyard at the time, and I was given a word of prophecy from a scripture in Isaiah that said, I will make the barren woman as a happy
Happy mother
mother.
of many. Yes.
Happy mother of many, right? And they said, this is you. And I was like, okay. At the moment that I got it, I kind of received it and didn't think too much of it. But as I started to get older and I still didn't have children, I kind of despised that word in some
Yeah.
way because I was like, God,
Yeah.
I don't understand why you said that. This is just so frustrating. I don't get it. And a
Yeah.
lot of what I would speak was out of grief, it's out of pain and not having.
Sure.
And now I see that I am a mother to many
You are.
in that I'm walking with people that are going through their healing from traumatic events.
Yeah.
And those are my children in a matter of speaking. Not that, and if you're listening and you're one of the folks that I work with, hear me. I don't mean that you are
Yeah.
children per se. I mean that
And
I've walked through.
they don't have to be younger than you.
No,
Like, I
right.
have several people that would consider me a spiritual mom, and they're much older than me, but
Yep.
it's part of your nature. I
Yep.
realize it's part of my nature, and that's the gap that God's asking us to be in. And just like adoptive parents, foster parents, I think foster parents are amazing
Yes, they
because
are.
they don't know that they get to keep having a relationship with that child, and they're willing to love and provide what they need in that moment. And that's really what we're doing, whether they're a part of our family or not, Jen. They're
Yep.
getting what we feel like God's asking us to provide.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's really cool to be able to walk with someone through some of those things as hard as they are,
Yeah.
to the privilege of getting into their intimate space and walking with them and right, getting to wherever God is trying to lead them in whatever
Yeah.
amount of time you're there.
Yeah. Now, the things that look weird, I'm curious if this is true for you, because you're a bonus mom too, but that doesn't mean that every holiday looks like a gaggle of kids at our house, or
Right.
that everyone's with us all together. Everybody does have other people in their lives and
Yeah.
other things going on. And so I've learned that that's not the part of being a mom that I get to have, is those big family gatherings at Christmas. But I pick other times when that can happen. And It's just made it a different holiday that my husband and I will figure out what does it look like for the two of us to do something, or how can we do something that makes it special for everybody when they're not at our house.
I can say that holidays certainly don't look like I wish they would look. They kind of are what they are now, and it's like they're still good. But yeah, it's not like I'm the main mom and my children are with me, or my child, I should say, is with me, and I have to share. And that for me was a struggle. I don't know if you had felt that way, but just feeling like I was the second wife, the second mom, the second daughter-in-law, and I had no children of my own, and I had the one child I did have, I had to share with someone who hated me. And it was such a struggle. It was such a wrestle. And I would just be like, God, I just don't understand this. Like, let me have a child of my own that's mine. Like, I saw this as a possession, right? This child is mine and not yours. And it's true that nobody really, like, they don't possess their child, right? That it's just someone they're entrusted with to
True.
grow up, and then they leave, right? So I was entrusted with my child as long as I had him. So.
I would say somebody told, I think it was a counselor told me this once, that you can never replace the mom chair or the dad chair. Even if that person was not a good person, there is something in people's hearts and souls that will always be like, that's my dad or that's my mom. They might have hurt them, they might have not continued to have a relationship, but you can't really replace that. But you could pull a third chair up. And I probably have learned more what other people have heard my stepdaughter say about me than what she's told me about what I mean to her. So, and I'm sure that's true for you too. And that is the only child, in some circumstances that we get to be a part of. And so there is part of that that I feel like is a good conversation for anyone to have with their spouse that is the natural parent. How can you be supportive? Because that's a very hard thing. There's a great book about blended families. Now I'm going to forget what the name of it is, The Smart Step Family. That I feel like is a great book. I wish I would have read it way before the time that I did, but it talks about the difference between a blender and a crock pot when you're mixing families, whether it's two families where kids are all blending together, or whether a new spouse is coming in and there's one child or a child that's already been part of a family. But some great tips on how to do that. So, I just think that's a hard one. And I found myself realizing, parents that have their kids all the time think they have a lot of control over their kids, and you don't have complete control. You, as they get older, you don't have any control at all. But you can pray for your kids, and God can do way more whether you're physically there or not with anything that they're going through. So I found myself praying a lot for my stepdaughter's mom. I found myself praying for my stepdaughter in times when there was nothing I could physically do. There was no option for us to get to make a choice in something that happened with her, and it brought more peace and grace than I felt before, because I did go through some really rough times of trying to control it.
Oh, yeah, me too. And you really can't. Control is such an illusion.
It is.
It's such an illusion. And once you realize that, then it's like, okay, I can't control any of that anyway. But prayer, I love that you point that back to prayer, because that is the one thing that you can do in any situation like that. Well, before we get to the end of our podcast, I certainly want to talk to you about revealing potential coaching, because that feels like something that is just so you, like being a life coach and helping people and guiding people. And when God started speaking to you about this, like you said, got a little rest and then you jumped into it. Like when you got your first client, like tell me what that was like, and tell me a little bit about the business as a whole.
Well, I will say, I had a hard time leaving my role at Crossroads because I had been there so long, and part of it was mourning the loss of leaving staff. So I feel like God gave me a little bit of a head start on the fact that I was going to be leaving, but he wouldn't tell me what I was going to be doing, and that was really hard. Typically, I like to know what else I'm going to do before I jump ship. So that rest was really a great season for me to find hobbies that I never had before. I was kind of a workaholic, and to rest and to see friends and to see relatives. And in it, I kept coming back to something that I had attended, I don't know, a year before that, took notes and threw it away, put it away. And it was something about coaching. And I was like, I don't want to be the Tony Robbins kind of coach. Like, that's my picture of what a coach was. But what I have always been good at, this is crazy. I pulled out a resume that I found from when I was 19 and was looking for a job. And my little tagline was something about bringing the fullest potential out in others. Isn't that
Wow.
crazy?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That is so
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah. So the thing that I loved most in any job that I'd had was meeting with the people who worked with me, helping leaders figure out like what is God doing with them and what's the next thing that that means, whether it's developing them as a leader. Some people, it was to move them to a different season and they were supposed to go work somewhere else or move somewhere or do something different with their family. And man, if I could have done that all the time and not done all the other work that I did, that would have just felt sweet. And that's what I get to do now. I get to help people figure out either like who are they if they've kind of lost a sense of that. You know, they could be 20 years into a job or in life and realize, okay, I'm doing things for everybody else, but I kind of want to see what else I can do with life, or I want to make an impact. And they might not know. So I try to help them figure out a little bit about their identity and where they're at in life and what that might mean. But I also think a lot of people don't have confidence to move on something. So whether that's writing a book or changing careers or doing something, even if it's a craft that they've never tried before, but they've always dreamed about it, I think I can help them figure out what that goal is and find a starting point and build some attainable action steps to kind of move in that direction. And a lot of times we're just too busy, or we don't really know where to start, or we need somebody like a life coach in our corner to cheer us on and tell us we can do it. And so I'm uniquely wired to do that. I'm pretty
You
discerning.
so are. You have so much wisdom. You're so wise.
That's probably age, Jen.
No, because I can recall like when we would sit in your office and talk, like you just have that very easy nature about you to kind of guide somebody and give them advice
Yeah.
that just feels very like, oh, this is very pragmatic, real advice that it makes sense.
Yeah.
Of course, why didn't I see that? And it just, it, like I said, it's just very natural out of you.
It is.
So
It
this just
is.
is the perfect
Yeah.
career.
So I'm having a lot of fun with it.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
Because you just get to be yourself, right?
That's
And
right. Yep. I do. And whoever I get to spend time with, it's really fun to hear their story, to know where they're going. And I mean, I love learning and listening to people's stories, but I also love to ask questions. I'm a good poker of questions to find out what's inside somebody. And yeah. So it's been fun. I've done some retreats. I do one-on-one coaching. I also do some classes where you can be in a group with other people, kind of unpacking your story, your giftedness, some of your passions, and figuring out what that means for a next step for you.
I love that so much. That feels like just such great opportunities for someone to step into you, no matter what it is, individual,
Yeah.
group, a retreat. That just sounds
Yeah.
perfect, depending on what a person's looking for.
Yeah. So I have a great opportunity on my website. You can book a free half hour discovery appointment. We can just have a half hour conversation and you can tell me what's on your mind and I can tell you what might be a great idea of how to start and you can make a choice based on our conversation.
Yeah, if you're out there and you are thinking about getting a life coach or you've often wondered what that's about, you should absolutely reach out to Lori. I can tell you, in my experience of knowing her, like I said, super wise, very intuitive, naturally curious, like it will be a good 30 minutes. So I would say run out there to that website. And what is your website, if you wouldn't mind
My
sharing it?
website is lauriestansbury.com, and that's the same way to find me on social too.
pretty cool. I wasn't sure if
Yeah.
it was under the revealing potential coaching, but
You can look that up on Google and I pop up as well.
perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it has been great to speak with you. We're going to wrap it up right there. We've run a little bit over our time, but this has been great. I feel like this is not enough time.
I know.
We
We'll
need to
have to
do
have
it
another
again.
chat.
I'm telling you, because there's like, I feel like there's so many areas we could jump into and so many things we could talk about, but I really felt like what we talked about tonight were some of the things that, for whatever reason, God wants someone to hear that out there. And
Yeah.
if you have a question for Lori, go find her out on her website. If you want to connect with me to get something to Lori, I will also do that. My email address will be in the description along with her website. So, yeah, reach out to us and with any questions you might have. So, well,
Thanks.
thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jen.
All right, folks, until next time.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2026, Parable Road, LLC.